The next, there's only a few mentions. I'm going to bring them all up. There's actually four mentions, but two of them are basically repeated because they're in the Gospels. There's one in Matthew and one in Luke, so we're not going to read both of those. In Proverbs 23, I'll just read this for you. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 while I'm reading these. Because gluttony is always tied in with another thing. In Proverbs 23, verse 19, the Bible reads, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." So in the verse before, it's defining, you know, a drunkard as someone who's a winebibber, someone who's drinking alcoholic wine. That's a drunkard. And riotous eaters of flesh is the glutton, someone who's just going out and just, you know, eating a lot of food, okay? And it says they're going to come to poverty. That overindulgence in these things is going to, you know, devour them, and they're going to come to poverty. In Matthew 11, verse 18, the Bible reads, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children." Do you notice in all these references, because that's all the references of gluttony, it's always tied in with the drunkard. Every single mention, you don't have one without the other there as far as the gluttony goes. There's drunkards are mentioned in other areas of the Bible, but every time that gluttony comes up, it's always tying it in with someone who's a drunkard. Not someone, first of all, that you want to be in company with in the Bible. Not something that we, you know, take that to heart, that that, you know, when it comes to gluttony, that it's referring also to a drunkard. Someone who's a drunk. Because it makes sense. I mean, both of them have to do with this overindulgence, with this giving yourself over to these fleshly lusts of consuming, of just consuming, whether it be consuming a bunch of food or consuming a bunch of alcohol. You're just overly just putting a bunch of stuff in your body, whether it's solid or liquid. And it's not right and it's not godly. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to see here what the Apostle Paul did, a real famous passage of Apostle Paul speaking of all the things he does for the gospel's sake, right? Becoming all things to all men is in this passage. Look at verse number 22. He says, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." He's exhibiting how important it is to get the gospel out. He's saying, you know what? Whatever I need to do, if I need to become as weak, if it's going to help this person understand the gospel, if I need to show, you know, come up to them at their level and that they'll listen to me because, hey, I'm just like you. I in this area, I'm weak. Whatever the case may be. He's like, I'm going to become all things to all men. He says, as under the law, well, I'm going to go to them just like I'm under the law too, you know, and kind of reach people where they're at and get right on their level with them. And he's saying, I'm willing to do all of that if by all means I might save some of them. His heart is focused on bringing them the gospel. Verse 23 says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." So he's saying here is that, look, the people who run in a race, just in general, so think about some race in the Olympics, right? These guys run in a race, there's only one winner, right? I mean, the person who finishes that one, they win. But they're doing that to gain just some medal, some crown, right? It's just this corruptible gold, silver, whatever. And they win that physical thing. Well, we're also in a race. In our Christian life, we are in a race to do good unto others, to win rewards that God will give us at the judgment seat of Christ. That is our finish line. That's where we want to be, to be able to come into God's presence where he says, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and he'll reward us for the race that we run on this earth. And he says, every man striveth for the mastery. You know, we need to run that we may obtain. We want to run with the prize being set before us and pressing forth towards that prize and keeping that in our minds that, you know, yes, this is difficult. Yeah, sometimes as you're running a race, you know, you get cramps, you start to feel fatigued. We need to keep pushing forward because we want to finish the race and finish strong and keeping the prize in mind at all times. He says, we need to run as if we're running to obtain a prize. And he says, every man that striveth for the mastery, that wants to win, is temperate in all things. If you want to run the race appropriately, you need to exhibit temperance. Temperance means control. You are in control and you are tempering your thing. Whatever it is that comes about you, you are temperate in all things. You don't allow yourself to get out of whack in any aspect of your life. You're keeping everything in balance. You're being temperate with the things you do. And when it comes to gluttony with eating, you know, that's something that we need to keep in temperance. That we need to be able to withhold ourselves from. Let's keep reading here. Verse number 26, he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.